Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
Isn't it great to be here? I'm in my wheelhouse, our passion. I'll tell you, when I first met Sandy and we were dating and we were getting to know each other, something that she made perfectly clear in conversations that we'd have with people and in situations is that she knew, she had an impression in her heart that God had called her to a ministry of healing and put a prominence on God's healing power. And I've just seen that in this church, that it's kind of become a staple here. You know, we're not gonna give an inch. Man, we join together and hate the devil and everything that he's about and everything that he's doing. And man, you guys that are watching online, I wanna welcome you to our service. You're at Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We've got a simultaneous service in Skytook that Curtis Hunsinger is speaking at tonight. And man, it's just, I'll tell you, they've gotten some new traction. It's 4 years old. We've had our fourth anniversary, which is shocking to even say, the church in Skytook, and making a huge impact in that community. It's about 30 or 35 miles north of Tulsa off of Highway 75 and Highway 20 for you guys that aren't aware. But you know, there's so many times where you'll hear people say, and you'll talk to people and they'll tell you about what God is doing or has done or what God's put on their life or what God's done in their life. And there's too many people that'll get sick or they'll get a disease, especially things that are terminal or things that are hard for medicine and doctors to take care of, that people will say things like, God put this on me. And people will say, it must be God's will because it's happened. That God's teaching me something through this, or I think a big one is, why did God allow this? And what's interesting about this is that God sets before us life and death, and then he says, choose life. And I think that's a big key, that it's what we decide to choose. You know, it's all through life. It's, you know, I think that a lot of times who people get married to or how long they stay married or whatever, it just determines what kind of picker they are. And I think that we got to what God's done in his new and better covenant is he's given us he's given us authority. He's given us, we walk in the power that Jesus walked in over all the power of the evil one. And the Bible goes so far as to say, and nothing will by any means harm us. And I wanna let you know that this Sunday, we're gonna have a healing service. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, we're just gonna pray for a half an hour, and then we're gonna worship God for another half an hour. And it's kind of gonna be the music set for Sunday. It's just a run through. But I tell you, I came last week and it's like, oh my goodness, it was just such a presence of God here. There's an anointing here and it's phenomenal. So I wanna encourage everybody that can be here tomorrow night to be here. And then Friday is the Friday groceries healed service, and at 10 o'clock, as many of you as you'd like to come sure can, and leaders, if you could come and pray with people and minister to people, there'll be hundreds and hundreds of people, and most of them will have need of what we're offering. It's Sunday is our healed services, and what I want to do is I want to let you know that we've got a 45-minute CD that's 45 minutes. I think you can download it on your phone. But I encourage you to either get the download, get the CD, put it in your truck, listen to it. Just soak up as much of this word as you can, because I'll tell you what's important. And what I'm doing tonight is I just want to lay a bed of faith on this place, that there's an atmosphere of faith. And what we do is we give God every bit of rain that he's honored, it deserves. And I believe that he desires in our lives to just impose his will, as Roger would say, impose his will on people's bodies who are sick and diseased. And I believe that if you're here tonight and you're suffering with some kind of illness or sickness, the Bible talks about, man, God's presence and then his power coming upon the preaching of his word, and that signs and wonders follow that. And I believe that, man, God will even touch your lives tonight as you're sitting here. But I just want to lay a bed of faith. And this isn't just for healing, man. This is to trust God. A couple of points, three bullet points before we get in the word is, and I just want to identify some things. The title of the message tonight is simply Hope and Faith. But tonight, as we start, just a couple of working definitions. Hope is expecting a blessing sometime in the future. That's our hope. We're expectant. We're expecting a blessing sometime in the future. And I think that's what a lot of people, where a lot of people are with, especially with God's healing provision in our lives, is they'll pray, but they'll still have the symptoms. They'll pray and they'll still feel like that disease or that sickness is prevalent. So what a lot of people will say is, they'll say, oh, God's healed me, and God, man, God's healing me, or I'm believing God for my healing. Well, that's hope. That's what that is, okay? Hope's not a bad thing. Man, it's without hope, we're hopeless, okay? But understand that's the expectation of that blessing that God's promised. Faith is taking now what God has offered. And this is where our minds want to say, well, wait a second, I don't get this. And that's where we have to bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Because the past tenses of God's word means it's settled and it's sealed. And there's that final decision of his will. See, and that's what I want to get into tonight is so much of God's word, especially his power to heal, it's chronicled, it's written in the word in a past tense, which is an amazing, I believe, an amazing approach that God has taken with this. In 1 Peter 2:24, he who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. See the past tense there? Actually, it's past perfect tense. But by whose stripes you were healed. See, that's the past tense of God's word that brings it alive in our life, that we were healed. Therefore, and here's what I add, therefore we are. See, if we were healed, then we are. See, this is all in an account that God's given us in our lives. And all we've got to do is access that account. There's points. There's even direct. The original text, it directly says to declare it, to put a claim on it, and then to put a demand on God's will. And you know, and there's a lot of times when people say, "Man, I can't demand of God." No, putting a demand on it is like putting a demand on a will that you were written into here on this earth. That you can put a demand on that inheritance. Well, that's what God wants us to do with the inheritance that He's given us when He's made us all sons and daughters, made us His children. See, so by whose stripes you were healed. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, see, we have it already. According to that what is written, I believed and therefore spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. Man, a big point with regarding our faith, it's verbal. There's so much of this that it's verbal. It's like, man, I don't know if I mean it. No, let me tell you, man, you speak the word in season and out of season. And what you have to do is you have to renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? But listen, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You have to immerse your mind. You have to immerse your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions in God's promise, in God's word. Where it gets to the point where you have to say, instead of you just saying, yeah, I know it. No, I know that I know. And then it's like, okay, you've layered it. No, how about I know that I know that I know. Now you've layered it where, you know what? Man, it makes it where, man, the whole idea of God's promise that nothing else can live within your life because you've sealed it with God's promise. I believed and therefore spoke. It so much of this is verbal. The Bible says you eat good, the fruit that comes out of your mouth. See, go to your Bibles in Mark 11, and this is a very familiar set of scriptures and passage here in God's word. It's interesting, too, I was thinking recently that we call God's word passages. What's a passage? man, it's an entrance or it's a way to get into, and in this regard, to get into God's promise. But Mark 11, 22, Jesus answered them and he said, have faith in God, or have the faith of God, or the God kind of faith. See, and where in verse 23, for assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, see, you have to speak. And that word mountain, it's not capitalized. It's in lower text. So that is, if it had a surname, it would be talking about a literal mountain. But this word mountain is translated. It's actually something that's hovering over you. That's what sickness, that's what disease, that's what debt tries to do in our lives. It tries to hover over us. But you say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in your heart. See, this... what we have to do, you have to understand, doubt is naturally going to come. It's whether you want to catch it or not. You're going to catch this word, or you're going to catch that doubt. See, it's what the way the deal's going to end up going is determined by what you're going to catch. See, this can be taught and taught and taught, but until you're in a place where you're ready to catch it. See, yeah, I want to be teachable, but let me just tell you something else. Beyond that, man, I want it to translate into me catching it in my life. See, you're going to catch that doubt. Man, is this really going to work? Man, somebody prayed for it, and it's like, it still hurts, or it still feels like it's there. Well, man, I've got a quote from F.F. Bosworth that I'm going to close this service with that's really going to help you. But you have to, he said, for assuredly I say unto you. That's what Jesus said. Man, you got to trust what Jesus promised, or you got to trust how you feel, or you got to trust the symptom. I don't want to put my trust in facts. I want to put my trust in the truth. For assuredly, I say, be removed, be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in your heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done. He'll have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, listen to verse 24. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Man, this is something you've got to let more than just settle in your heart. Man, you've got to have this engraved in your heart that you believe that those things that you say, you'll have. Why? Because you believed it. See, the Bible, man, how many times in the Word have you heard where the Bible says, to he who believes, or so be it unto your faith, or as you believe, so it is. See, that's the place where we have to be, that whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. See, so now we look at Galatians, the 3rd chapter and the 13th verse. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Deuteronomy 28 is very clear, and it states that all diseases are all of them amount to a curse in the law. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. See, we go back to 1 Peter 2:24, and 1 Peter 2:24 says that he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. So Jesus became accursed on that cross. For the very first time in his life, that curse, the curse of sin, the curse of the law, and the curse of sin came upon him on our behalf. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That the blessings of Abraham, man, we're called sons of God. That's what that blessing is. So now the curse is redeemed. So the debt of the curse that we've always lived under all of our lives, the debt of, listen, it's real simple, poverty, sickness, and death. Okay? That's what the curse is. It amounts to poverty, sickness, and death. Man, you might be here and you might say, well, you know what? I just live month to month. I don't really have any savings. I don't tithe. I don't give. I don't have much extra every month. Let me tell you what that is. That's simply, it's poverty. The government even knows it. Man, our government refers to, they refer to a poverty line. That if anybody, it's not anybody that has nothing. It's anybody that lives under a certain income. They refer to that as poverty. Well, you know what? I believe they're right. I believe that poverty is synonymous with the wilderness for the children of Israel. that God delivered them from bondage where they could own nothing. And then they went to the wilderness and he fed them manna every single day and supplied their daily need. And it was daily. They lived daily. They lived month to month. They lived hand to mouth. You know what that equates to? Poverty. But then what does God have? God has the Jordan for us to cross over into that land that flows with milk and honey, the land of more than enough. Man, that's what God's given us to live. That's why Jesus hung on that cross. He became a curse. He was accursed on that cross. So now your poverty came upon him. So your sickness came upon him. Your disease came upon him. Your spiritual death came upon him. So when he died on that cross, you know what died with him? Your poverty, your sickness, and your death. Let me tell you, this is incredible news, but it's past tense now in our lives. What do we have to do? We don't have to scratch and claw and hope God's gonna do something. I'm telling you, it's already done. It's already happened. He has already sealed it to your account. All you have to do now is draw upon it. And it's so weird for us to think like that because normally it's like, well, I'm going to see if I can get over this. Or doc, how long do I have? Or what? Let me just tell you, I appreciate doctors giving a diagnosis. I don't appreciate the prognosis. Man, the prognosis, I want to trust God. See, that's the bottom line. The bottom line is, if you attach worry, you should write this down, okay? This is the Spirit of God for you tonight. If you attach worry, anxiety, doubt, and fear to anything, I'm telling you, it can take you under. It absolutely will. And you know what? It might be something that you'd even call a blessing. You get a job promotion. You get a bonus. You get an inheritance. You get a windfall of finances. And if you begin to worry, or if you begin to see, it's not just the negative bad things. What the enemy wants to do, the enemy's going to use those things. And you know what we do? We live so casually about it. Man, we're so cavalier with it. It's like it's not that big a deal. So you know what? There's some people thinking they're trusting God and all they're in is in denial. And you know what? Faith is not denial. Man, what I want to do is I want to find that pressure, that source of pressure in my life, and I want to deal head on, face to face with that pressure. I want to fight that pressure with faith. And what's faith? I believe and therefore speak. And the Bible says this, so be it, as of unto your faith. See, we've all been given the starting line of faith as Christians, the measure of faith. Just like we've all been given the same amount of musculature. We have the same amount of muscles in our bodies. But you know what? How you exercise them, how you work them, how you're fluid with them. Man, if you don't use your muscles, they're gonna atrophy. If you don't use your faith, what's it gonna do? It's gonna atrophy. And then you know what? You're gonna need it. And you're gonna try to play catch up. Man, we've got these healing services coming up. We know that God's the healer. We know that God has already healed us. So we call them healed services. And you know, there's people that doesn't make any sense. Man, I see people walk by that healed room every single day that are carrying symptoms in their bodies. And you know what? It might take 20 or 30 or 40 or 60 minutes for them to sit in there and just soak in the word. Just listen to the word and let it get in them. But you know what? People don't have time for that. See, it's kind of like this. The Bible says, eat and drink for tomorrow we die. It's like, wait a second. No, listen, the bottom line is this, is your life is in his hands. See, we are Christians. You know what that means? We've given our life to Jesus. So it's not my life anymore. So what happens is because of the price, because we were redeemed from the curse of the law because Jesus hung on that cross. So that redemption now means there is a price that was paid for it, right? See, this has been paid for, and it'd be like if I bought Sandy a new vehicle and she walked to church every day, and she walked through the elements, and that's what she chose to do when she had keys to a vehicle. Man, you know what? Take the vehicle. Well, I'm not sure that it's mine. No, I gave it to you. It's in your name. See, that's how this is. See, what healing is for us now, it's our life now. It's what's in us. It's who God is. It's what God does. Man, you look at times. I was going through Taylor's notes with him today, speaking at sub 30 tonight. And it just blesses me how seriously he's taking it. But, man, we're going through his notes, and he was talking about the woman with the issue of blood. I said, man, look at the story right in front of the woman with the issue of blood. Oh, Jairus' daughter. Look at the story right after the woman with the issue of blood. He's like, oh, my gosh. I said, you know why? These weren't these serendipitous ministry. They were just opportunities for miracles for Jesus. This is all this is. What God's given us tonight, what God's given us tomorrow, what God's given us Saturday, Friday morning, what God's given us Sunday, these services, is an opportunity for miracles. That's all it is. Man, I'm telling you, it's just good news. The Bible is really clear. Let the poor do what? Say, I'm rich. Let the sick say, I'm well. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Huh. What do we do again? We say it. The Bible says we eat good, the fruit that comes off our lips. Man, our tongue is the smallest yet most powerful member of our bodies. Why? It directs us to our lives. Why? Because we eat good, the fruit. Our words are seed. You're sowing gossip. You're critical. Man, you have a lying tongue. It's not so much that we sin or fall short of the glory of God. It's that we sin and fall short of the glory of God and lie about it, or walk in pride with it, or be critical of someone else. Man, I'd love to be critical. Man, I could find fault in everybody in this room, but you know what? I'm pointing out a speck in their eye when there's a log in my own. See, that's how God looks at it. See, now we've got to look at our lives. We have to understand that we've got to begin to direct our lives with our words. That's why that's why 1 Peter 2:24 ends up in past tense. By whose stripes you were healed. Well, you know what? If I was, then I am. So now all I have to do is I have to recover that healing. See, what's so much of God about is about recovery. Let these signs will follow those who believe. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll cast out devils. If they touch any deadly thing, it won't harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. See, so much of our life is about recovery. Recovery. No, the Bible says that we stop the enemy and he has to repay what he's stolen from us. Man, you know, the power of your tongue is so, I'm telling you, it's so laser sharp that if the enemy has ripped you off ever, which you know he has, you know what you've got to do? You got to just call that back in. And he doesn't have to just repay it. Let me just tell you, he's got to repay it. The Bible says seven times. See, you have to understand that we have been bought, the precious price that God paid to buy me back, buy me out of my slavery. See, let me tell you what the Gospels are. It is the kingdom emancipation proclamation. We're not slaves anymore. We've been set free. But you know what? We still act like we're slaves. I mean, we're walking around saying, yes, Massa, to the devil. I mean, it's time for us to wake up and not be the slaves the enemy wants us to be, to listen to poverty, to sickness, to death. Let me tell you, there's no dignity in that. No, you know what? And it's tyranny. And what we've got to do is we've got to turn the tables on the enemy. And let me tell you, everyone in this room, at the core of us, we hate slavery. But I'm not going to be slave to the curse of the law. I'm not going to be slave to what the enemy. Why? Because Jesus became that curse for me. That curse of slavery has been removed from my life. It's imperative to get the sowing of our words into that past tense, for the seed to begin to work in our lives. That's how it begins to work. If we're saying, oh, God's gonna heal me, that's hope. Remember? Man, put up that initial statement, the first definition that I gave. Hope is expecting a blessing sometime in the future. Does the Bible say the just shall live by hope? Ever, anywhere. I asked you a question. If you could find it for me, please. It doesn't say that the just are going to live by expecting a blessing sometime in the future. Not at all. No, the just shall live by faith. Now put the faith definition up. Faith is taking now what God has offered. I want it, and I want it now. And you know what? And you call that, you need to call that in. So then, here's what faith is. Faith is we believe and therefore speak. So let's say I'm believing God for something. Let's say I'm believing God for my marriage. God, I thank you that, God, I thank you that you're making my marriage everything. God, I thank you that it's leading to perfection in marriage. That's what my relationship with Sandy is, in Jesus' name, okay? I don't have to get up and ask him for that every day. I ask in faith, and then you know what I do? When it comes up, when Sandy makes me mad, or when I say something, or I start, or the devil tempts me, or whatever happens, I'm telling you, I don't have to say, oh, God, I got to remind you. Remember last Wednesday when I said, God, you got to touch my marriage. God, I'm thanking you're perfecting my marriage. I don't have to do that again. Man, when that thought comes, when that doubt comes, I'm not going to receive that doubt. You know what I'm going to do? God, I thank you that my marriage is strong. God, I thank you that you're perfecting my marriage. You know why? You perfect that which concerns me, God. God, thank you for that. See, here's the bottom line. We ask, and we ask in faith. And what that ask is we're putting a demand in that promise. And I know that there's people that, I think it's kind of spineless, I do, people that have a problem with that, putting a demand on God's promise. I really do. Like God's this little weakling up there that's like, well, oh, it's going to hurt his feelings. No, we're his children. We have to come humbly and boldly into the throne of grace. But then you know what? And I'm telling you, we have to have a thankful heart in this. And that's where most of the problem is. Most of the problem is we're not really thankful. And I'm not just talking about, I think there's a difference between being thankful and being appreciative. I can be appreciative, I think, without putting it into words. I can be appreciative without really acknowledging it. But you know what? For me to be thankful, I almost have to speak it. I almost have to verbalize it. I think that's a missing part. Because you know what we'll do? We'll say, God, I thank you for touching my knee. God, I thank you for healing this knee. God, I thank you that you restore what the worms and the locusts and the rust is. Man, this old rusty knee, God, I thank you that you're restoring it in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for it. And then I get out of bed the next day and I'm like, man, I don't know. Doesn't feel any better. Doesn't feel any stronger. God, I ask you. God, I'm asking you. Touch this knee. That's not faith. You hear me? That's me trusting what I can see. That's me trusting how I feel. You know what you do? God, I thank you for this knee. God, I thank you that you're renewing my strength as an eagle. God, I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. I get up the next day, no matter how that knee feels, God, I thank you that you've healed me. God, I thank you that your healing power has gone through all of my body, even this knee, God. God, thank you for health in my knee in the name of Jesus. And I think we have to verbalize it. Hold it. I retract that. Forgive me. I know we have to verbalize it. See, that's where the power is. I think the power, and don't get birthday boy Roger started on this tonight, because he's got a mouthful. You should probably teach on that Sunday at the second mile. I think the power's in the thank you. I really do. I think that's where the power of my relationship with God is I have a thankful heart. Not that I can come to him and recite the promises that I've read in that book. See, it's not us reciting it. Man, it becomes the, okay, this is you got your pens ready? It becomes the confession of your mouth, okay, and the profession of your life. The confession of your mouth and the profession of your life. See, what we want to say is, we want to say, hey, what's your profession? Oh, I'm a businessman. I'm in the insurance business, or I'm in the car business, or I'm in the speedboat business. I'm in the house building business. I'm a plumber. I'm a painter. I'm a lawyer. And you know what, man? The profession of our life now is I'm a child of the King. Man, if your daddy was the King, which he is, the King of the universe and beyond, You're not going to say, somebody comes up to you and say, "Hey, let me, what's your profession?" I'm the son of a king. You're not going to say, "I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor." And I know, you know what? For social reasons, we'll tell people what we do for a living. But I think the profession of our life becomes, "I'm a man of faith. I'm a man of faith and power. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might." That's my profession. That's the profession of my life. Does that make sense, Nina? And I think we have to make that clear. Faith refuses to see anything contrary to God's word. Faith refuses to see anything as a reason for doubting. Faith refuses to see anything contrary to God's promise. Faith refuses to see anything. See, what we've got to do is we've got to draw a hard line in our lives. And let me just tell you something. There are people that won't like it. There are people that honestly, it's like, "Well, wait a second. That's mean because you're not giving people a choice." Oh my gosh. Are you kidding me? Heaven or hell, we want to give them a choice. The Bible says, "Compel them in that his house may be full." That word in the Knox translation of the Bible is more accurate. It says, "Compel them, give them no choice but to enter in." Oh my gosh. Man, Bob Senior, if there was a chance any of your kids were gonna go to hell, would you do anything short of, there's nothing in your life you wouldn't do. See, that's how we have to look at it, and that's how God did it. He gave, see, we quote it so often that see, perfect. Faith refused to see anything as a reason for doubting contrary to God's word. See, and we look at this and we have to say, "Wait a second, man, the blood of Jesus. Are you kidding me? They drained him. They carved him up and they hung him on a cross. He's fighting for breath, just waiting for every drop of blood that he could to just spill out on this earth." And we look at it, it's like, "Yeah, I answered an altar call." It makes it, it's so difficult for us to commit to coming to church once a week. Now, we call those people core people in our church just because they're here once a week. It has been such a sacrifice for me to tithe. Man, you talk to Joel Coggins about what sacrifice turns into when he in the tithe in his life. And you know what? The devil doesn't like it a bit. Man, the devil is going to, and you know what? Those people say, "Well, do you believe there's a demon under every rock?" Yeah, and I don't even care about it. Man, the devil's going to be around every corner. He's going to be at every bend of your life. Big deal. See, we can't be those who cower. We can't be those that we see something contrary to God's word and we're like, "Oh my gosh, could this be your will?" It's never going to be God's will if it's contrary to his word. Did you write that down? It's never going to be God's will if it's contrary to his word. God has never ordained or given anything in your life or will put anything on you that is not expressed in his word. Is that clear? "As you believed, so let it be done for you." What tense is the word "believe" in here? Past tense. As, that's what Jesus said. "So be it as of unto your faith." So be it as of unto how you've believed. Man, the devil wants you to cower. People might laugh at me. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus, having been made a curse for us, for everyone who hangs on the tree is accursed. He bore our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Oh my gosh. That word "peace" is synonymous with prosperity, length of days, and long life. That's all, these are promises. We put a demand on them. Man, you know what? Your symptoms may be screaming, you're not going to live very long. The last time I checked, we gave the lordship of our life to those to the Lord, to Jesus, not to those symptoms. We can't let those symptoms have a say in our life. Ever. I'm telling you, you can't let your guard down at all, because your guard is a shield of faith. The shield of faith, Paul writes about the armor of God. He said, put on the whole armor of God. And then you know what he said about this shield of faith? Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Now listen, don't go into reminiscing. You can't go into a history lesson for this. Of things that have happened in your life or people that you knew, you've got to think about this from here forward. You got to be thinking about this. Listen, for you, for your kids, and for your kids' kids. See, that's how God looks at it. Man, we get this in us. Man, you think about the English boys. Man, the English boys have the word of faith on the inside of them as boys. As they grow, what does the word say? The word says they're going to grow in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. And see, you keep growing. Man, you put it in them, and it's going to grow, and it's going to grow. And all that stuff's going to grow simultaneously. Okay, get your cameras ready. You can take a picture of this. Unless you type like those kids like Kennedy can, she can carry a conversation with me and be doing this with her hand, and she's communicating to all her homies and tweeting and stuff, okay? With our natural eyes, we see only the temporal inferior things of the earth. But with the enlightened eyes of our understanding, we behold the superior, satisfying, and lasting realities of God's spiritual and eternal kingdom. See, what we have to look at is the things which we see are temporary, are temporal. It's the things that you can't see that are eternal. And you know what that is? It's God's promise. It's God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is faith? I see it, I believe it, I say it. It's just by hearing it. And you know what? Let me just tell you, We've all had damages in our past in this regard, whether it be poverty, sickness, or death. But I'm just telling you, at some point, we've got to put our foot in the dirt, and we've got to cut up field. Man, we're not scrambling anymore. We're not looking for a way around something anymore. I'm going to plant my foot, and I'm taking new ground in my life. And see, that's all this is. This is all God's requiring of us, is just take new ground. Man, possess the land, right? Take dominion. Possess the land. Take dominion, right? Replenish the earth. Replenish the earth. Replenish the earth. Replenish the earth. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's what I'm here to do. That's what God gave. That's the initial life that God gave Adam. Man, replenish the earth. What is that? We're going to produce offspring that trust God. We're going to produce children and generations that love God more than anything. Man, what if Roger's girls grow up loving God more than anything? Let me just tell you what that is. Position A. Their life, let me just tell you, no matter what the enemy throws at them, their life just becomes a gimme, a tap in. Just tap it in. And you know what? That's what God's called us. That's who God's called us to be.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.